Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be here. Thank you, Philip. Philip and Destiny, we love dearly and love this church and what you're doing to impact this community. And, of course, the Duron family, they are close friends and have been for over 30 years. So I always like coming here, and thank you for the opportunity to be here with you on this Father's Day, a special day. And we honor our fathers today. We honor you because we want to. We also honor you because God commanded us to honor you. So if you're a father, would you just stand around just stand up as a father right now. And the rest of us, let's just clap for these guys. Let them know that we love you and we thank God for you. Thank you so much. You know, being a father is it's like playing golf. It's time consuming. It's hard, it's expensive, has a lot of hazards involved. But we know that as men, and I think that you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to be the right kind of father, father for your family and the godly man. And being a father is, well, it's scary at times. There's no instruction book. You just start being father. You don't know how to do that, but you learn it over time. But it's hard. It's not easy. And then when we just think we got it going, they become teenagers. And what happens then? Nobody knows. It's amazing. You know, I have two daughters, and when they became teenagers, I would give them wisdom. And they would look at me as if to say, how can you be so old and yet so dumb? Because all of a sudden they knew a lot more than I did. So being a father may be the hardest job that you will ever have. But if you do it God's way, it will be the most rewarding and fulfilling job that you've ever had. So buckle your seatbelts. Kids love their moms. But they live for their dads. They live for his affection and his approval. They crave that. I read a story about a guy that he was a professor, and he had a premature bald. He just shaved his head. Married a great gal. He had two children. And on a Friday night, they decided to have a date night and go get something to eat. And they got a babysitter. And while he was gone, the kids got involved because the babysitter started watching TV and got distracted. So the daddy comes home, and he sees his little son, Andy. And he sees his hair, and he says, Andy, what is wrong with your hair? It's awful. What did you do? And he showed him a little more of his head. He had taken his dad's shaver and just made a runway down the middle of his head. Well, the dad said, Andy, come here. I'm going to give you the worst spanking you ever had. Come here. And so he went over to him, and daddy started to hit him, and he said, Daddy, wait till you see sister. So he called the sister, and she wouldn't come out of the room, out of the bedroom. So they went in there, and there was the old sister, and she had shaved all of her head. She was just like an onion. I mean, just all the hair was gone. And the dad, I mean, he'd had it. He was livid. He grabbed little Andy, and he said, you're going to get the spanking of your life. And he raised up his hand, and Andy said, but, Dad, we just wanted to look like you. That's the heart of every child. They want to be like their dad. They want the approval, the affection of their dad more than anything else. I love to read Tim Hansel's stuff and listen to what he says about fathers. Being a father is so sacred, we dare to describe God as father. So difficult that in our lifetime we'll begin to discover only portions of its meaning. And so powerful that what we do with it will affect the lives of our kids forever. Value the power, the importance of a dad. Let me give you another illustration. When the father is an active believer, believing in Christ, there's a 75% likelihood that the children will also believe in Christ. On the other hand, if the mom is the only believer, only 15% are likely to accept Christ. So see, Dad, they're looking to you. And that's what God has set you up to be, the spiritual leader in the home. Every child needs a godly dad. That's always been true. But it's more important that we understand today's world, today's culture, this secular culture. America's going in the wrong direction. I mean, it's too late to tweak it. We have to stop and turn around and go back in the other direction. And what's going to happen before that, I don't know. We need revival, but we may not have revival. God may have to send something upon us to take us to our knees. I don't know about your denomination, but in my denomination, we are losing 7 out of 10 of our kids between the ages of 18 and 23. They are leaving church and have no intention to ever come back. You think about that. That means we have no future. Think about what that means in the next generation. So we have to understand that in these critical days, we've always needed men to be godly men, but today we need it more than ever. That's what I think you want to be, and that's what I know God wants you to be. Because every child needs a godly father. In Psalm 1, I want to read you this passage that gives the characteristics of a godly father. And they're easy. It's just right there in the text. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed, happy, successful is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, in these verses, three characteristics of a godly father. Number one, he is directed by the Word of God. The Bible says he doesn't listen to the worldly crowd. That means that you ought to keep television off a lot more than you watch it. You ought to be careful of the movies that you go to, because the world wants to come into your life. He doesn't listen to that crowd, the godly man. He doesn't go where they go. He doesn't do what they do. Second, number two, he is delighted by the Word of God. If you want to be a godly man, if you want to be a godly husband, you need to fall in love with the Word of the living God. God only wrote one book. This is it. And let me tell you something that's absolutely incredible. Every time you open this book and read it, the author is present with you while you're reading it. Wow. Let me say that backwards. Wow. That is amazing. No book like it. He is delighted by the Word of God. He loves the Lord's teaching. And he talks about it day and night. It's always on his mind. He is building his life and his family according to the Word of God? Are you in love with God's Word? If not, fall in love with God's Word. It's life-changing for you. We can't make it through this life like we need to make it without this book. Spend time in the Word of God. The third thing, he is destined for success. If you're directed by the Word of God, you let God direct your life. You're delighted by the Word of God. You spend time. You talk about it day and night. It's always on your mind. Then you are going to be successful. That's a promise of God. He is strong and fruitful like a tree planted by a river. It's just going to grow and become stronger and stronger. Whatever he does will succeed. I read an interview, saw an interview with Barbara Walters several years ago with the billionaire Ted Turner. And she said to him, she asked him a question, what is it like to be so successful, to be so wealthy? It was interesting to me what he said. I've never forgotten it. I saw this years ago. He said, success is an empty bag, but you don't know it until you get there. That's a great lesson for us to learn. Worldly success is not really what you want. It's what you think you want. Worldly success is frustrating. Godly success is fulfilling. That's what you really want. To find that inner peace and that fulfillment and that joy that only comes from that relationship with God. It's so easy. One of our biggest problems in our world today is materialism and getting caught up and thinking that stuff is going to make us happy. If we can just get one more thing, if we can get this or that or live in this home or that home, or drive this kind of automobile, then we're going to be happy. Chances are the more you have, the less happy you become. Because it'll never make you happy. Things, stuff will never, ever bring you the joy that you're looking for. And we're all guilty. I was guilty years ago, over 30 years ago. I noticed that the sharpest men in our church wore a Rolex watch. I thought, these guys are smart and they're cool and they're the sharpest guys in the church and they wear a Rolex watch. I think that's what I ought to wear. So I bought my Rolex watch. And they're not cheap. But I bit the bullet and bought it. And I wore it, but I wasn't happy. I kept wearing it. I wore it for months, maybe even a couple of years or more. But I was always uncomfortable. And when I would be around people, instead of doing this, I would put my hand in my pocket because I didn't want them to see my Rolex watch. Well, finally, I began to talk to God about it and realized that he didn't want me to get it in the first place. And so it came to my mind, what you need to wear is a Mickey Mouse watch. And that's what I did. I bought me a Mickey Mouse watch. I sold this to a deacon because deacons, they'll do anything. It didn't bother them at all. In fact, I just saw this guy who bought it. Still my friend. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama now. But he was telling me how much they've gone up and how much money he's made off of my watch. So I wore this Mickey Mouse watch, and everywhere I go, people would say, you're wearing a Mickey Mouse watch. And I would say, that's a reminder to me constantly that materialism is Mickey Mouse. And you know, one day I decided to, years now I've worn this, and I'm going to put it aside and get a nice watch. And so I put it aside. The next week, I'm at the filling station, and a guy comes over to me, and he says, I want to see your watch. And I showed him my watch. He said, what's your Mickey Mouse watch? And I said, it's at home. He said, well, I wanted you to tell me that story again because my girl's going off to college, and I want her to know about materialism and this Mickey Mouse. And I just want to hear you tell that story again. I said, oh, no, I got to put that thing back on. So I went back and put the Mickey Mouse watch back on. And wore 3 or 4 more years. But God has ways of showing us what materialism will do. And we need to be aware of that. Because here he is destined for success because he is trusting in the Word of God and he is doing it God's way. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told to honor our fathers. We're commanded to honor our fathers. It's not an option. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You used to be talking about the Word of God all the time. When you're standing up, when you're lying down, when you're walking. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's serious about the Word of God and how we ought to be so attentive to God's Word, and it constantly ought to be upon our minds and in our hearts. And then the New Testament, it says, and you fathers, Ephesians 6, 4, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That word in the Greek, admonition, it's a word that translates, that means to put something in the mind. God says you are, one of your jobs, your main responsibility as a father is to put something in the mind of your child. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. One of the greatest things you can do as a father is to constantly pour the Word of God into the mind and hearts of your children. Start when they're really young, and then all their lives, you pour God's Word into their heart. The greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is the gift of listening. And I say this to men because men sometimes have trouble listening like we ought to. And we get involved in things like TV and, you know, we're watching something we think is important and our child's trying to talk to us. And it's so easy not to listen but to pretend like we're listening. And many times our kids are smart. When you're not listening, they know you're not listening. You can't fool them. My girls used to take me some time and they'd put both hands and just turn my head like this, make me look right in their eyes and tell me what they want to tell me because they were smart enough to know that I was not listening to them. So listen. Become a great listener. And, you know, the Bible really tells us as men that we're to lead our kids to want God, to walk with God, and to work for God. And in honesty, there is no greater reason for us as men to be on this earth than to have the opportunity to lead our children, our family, to Jesus Christ. There's nothing in life that will ever be greater in your life or more important than that your kids come to know Christ. But what men will say is, you know, I can't make my kids love God, walk with God, want God. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's not true. You can salt the oats, that horse will drink water. There are things that you can do to make it interesting and make them want the Word of God and want to serve God in their lives. And here's what I want to say to every father in the room. I want every father to hear this. Listen closely. Home is the one course in life you cannot afford to flunk. You can't flunk this course. There is no success in the world that you could ever have that would make up for the failure of the home. So make the home the priority in your life, your family. Sometimes people ask me, what do you do for a living? I said, I love my family. At First Bossier, for years, every Sunday, I reminded our people, life is faith, family, and friends. Ultimately, the only thing that will matter in your life will be relationships. Most things we get involved and excited about are here today and gone tomorrow. Family is so important. And men, if you're always talking and always working, your children will resent you and may even hate you. They crave your attention. They want to hear you talk to them. They want you to listen to them. Being a good dad is never automatic. It doesn't happen just because God gives you kids. It is hard work, really hard work. And you work at it and work at it and work at it. And you never get where you want to be. I've been working at it all these years, and I'm still not the dad I want to be because it's just hard work. But the dividends are more than worth it. It takes patience. It takes persistence. It takes time. Lots and lots and lots of time. Do you know how kids spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. You know how a wife spells love? T-I-M-E. Time. You can buy your kids all kinds of things, but giving them time is more important than anything you could ever buy. So important that we know the importance of spending time with our family and time to just listen. Just listen. When my dad was dying, he was in Dallas, and I was there with him, and they expected him at any time he could go to heaven. And my daughter was here at Aiken High School, and she was in a beauty pageant. And so I had a decision, do I stay with Dad or do I go to be in that beauty pageant? And it was an easy decision for me, even though it was hard to leave Dad. I knew that I needed to be there for my daughter. Because when my kids are in something, I'm there. It's true now with our grandkids. They're in Austin, Texas. We're putting thousands of miles on our cars because we're in Austin, Texas. When they're in something, we try to be there. And when you got seven of them, they're in something about all the time. So it's so important that we're there for our kids. So I left my dad and I came to the beauty pageant. And when I saw her, look at me. Saw her face. I knew I made the right decision. I left there and went back to Dallas, and God let my dad live till I got back. But that's what he wants from us as parents, that our kids need to not just tell them that we love them. We have to show them that we love them, and we have to be there for them. And it's not, I mean, just like we go to all these things with our grandkids. I mean, it's you got to sit through all that stuff. That's not the greatest thing in the world for men. But you do it because you love those grandkids. And that's why you'll drive all the way to Austin and you'll be there. Because when you see their face and their smile, you know you made the right decision. And I encourage every man to make those kind of decisions. If you don't have time for your family, I think based on the Bible, you're not following God. Family first. Time, talk, touch. Touch is so important. Hug your kids. Don't ever stop doing that. And then I told them in the first service, find things that you can do that will put you with your kids. What God showed me years ago was you need to buy a boat and go to the lake because kids love water. And they love being in the water. And so, my kids are so busy, they didn't have time to do anything with me because they were busy doing all their stuff. But when I said, let's go to the lake, they not only wanted to come, they wanted to bring friends with them. And so we bought a single-wide mobile home. I think it's about 100 years old. But and when you put the family and their friends in that little short, single-wide mobile home, it's an experience. But we rented a little spot and rented out a little mobile home, and we did it for 10 years. And I was a busy pastor of a large church. And I could have had 100 excuses every time not to go to the lake. But I chose to go to the lake. And we not only taught our kids to ski and all that stuff, and knee boards and all that stuff, we taught half the kids in the church, seems like, because they would always bring kids with them. And I promise you that girls in First Baptist Bossier that I have spent more time with as they grew up than their parents, especially their dads. Because we were hours at the lake. You see, at home, the kids, they don't want to give you any time, really. They're busy, and they're busy with their friends and all these things, and they're going here and going there. But when you get them at the lake, and I get them in a boat, I've got them for hours. And I get quality time that you can't buy with those kids. And looking back over my life, that's one of the best decisions. Later, we bought a double-wide mobile home 10 years later, and then 10 years later, we bought a house on Lake Claiborne. And week before last, we were there all week with kids and grandkids. And that is their favorite place to go, is to the lake. And my little grandson, Will, he thinks there's no place on earth like the lake. But what it gave us was time to be with our kids and to love on them. Also, it gave us time to know who their friends are and to get to know their friends. And sometimes to be able to help them know that's probably not the best friend you could have. So God does all kinds of things, but that's just one of the things that we learn that God has used in our life that we're grateful for. Here's what you need to know. Love is the number one need of your children. The number one need is love. And there are five ways that I want to give you to express love. One is to be available. If your dad needs you, if your child needs you, dad, you be available. I was at a deacon's meeting, and my phone did whatever it does, makes that little noise, tells me that I got a call. And I always look at my phone. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter where I am in the country. If my phone beeps, I take it out and look at it in case it's my wife or my daughters. If it's my wife or my daughters, I answer it. Doesn't matter who I'm talking with. And I've talked with at least one person that was pretty high up. But it doesn't matter who I'm talking to because I want to make sure they're okay. So I'm in a deacon's meeting. It goes off. I stop talking to the deacons. And I tell them, let me get this phone. And it was my daughter, Christy. And so she told me that she spilled something on the sofa, and she didn't know how to get it out. So I said, okay, just a minute. So I said, this is Christy. She spilled something on her sofa, and she didn't know how to get it out. Who's got an idea? And one of the deacons runs a furniture store, and he says, I'll tell you what to do. And he told me what to do, and I told her. And then I said, bye, I love you. Well, is that a big deal? Yes, it was a big deal. Because I was telling her, it doesn't matter that I'm in an important meeting of the deacons of the church or what the deacons are going to think. You're more important to me. If you've got a need that I can meet, then I'm going to be there. If you're in trouble, I'm going to be there. And so that's so important that we do that with our kids. And that pays great dividends. That they know that you're, in a way, I'm always with my girls and their families because they can get me at any time. And they know that if they need me, that I'm going to be there for them. So be available. Don't offer excuses ever. Be available. Be approachable. Make it easy for them to share with you and to talk to you and tell you what's going on in their lives. Be gentle, firm, always firm, but always loving. And then make eye contact. Kids... they know if you're not making eye contact. They know if you're disinterested. If you're trying to think of something else while they're, you're not really hearing them. And if you got kids like my girls, they would take me and put their hands on my face sometimes and just make me look right at them in the eyes and make sure that I'm focused only on them. But if they do that, that's just a reminder that, man, we can do better at this. That we need to make sure that we make eye contact. And what we're saying, you're important to me. I care about what's happening in your life. I care about what you want to tell me, what you're thinking. I want to hear what you have to say. And then listen with a desire to understand. Hear them out. Listening is the greatest single gift you can give your child. Just to listen to them. And then to touch them often. Hugs won't ever go out. It's important just to touch those that you love. And remember, love is like oxygen. You have to have a certain amount of it to survive. You have to have love. So you really can't overdo love and loving your kids. So I encourage you as men, the best thing you can do is stay in this book and follow its directions, being the man that God wants you to be. Love this book so much that you talk about it when you get up and when you lie down. Think about it. It's always on your mind, always in your heart. And spend so much time with it that when your kids come to you with a problem, you've got a verse from God that you can help them with and give that verse to them. That you're speaking into their lives through God's Word. You're teaching them that this is the most important book in your life, the greatest book ever written. God's direction book for you. How can I be a great husband, a great father? How can I be a better father, a better husband? This book will get you there. Trust it. Say with Joshua one day, as for me and my house, my family, we will love this book and we will trust the Lord. Let's bow together. Father, thank you for the privilege to speak to this group of people. Thank you for what you're doing in this church, in this community, through these people. Thank you for every man in this room, every father. We thank you for the fathers in this room. And we pray for them. Speak into their lives. May they feel loved and wanted and needed. And know that you've given them a huge responsibility, that these precious children are looking up to them. That they crave their love and affection. Help them to pour out this love on their family. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. Help us to overflow with love, that love oozes out of us and touches the lives of our children, our mates, our friends, even strangers that we can share the gospel with. Fill us with your love. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.